All right, everybody. All right, that ought to do it. I should turn the mic on. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see everyone here. Here's how this rolls for any newbies who are on the call. If you'd like to be coached, you go to the bottom of your screen and raise your hand. If you want to talk with the other people on the call, just amongst yourselves, use the chat. I won't get in there very often at all. If you have a question for me that's, you know, pretty, not an easy question, but you know what I mean, a question where, you know, it's just, you just want to use the Q&A, you can put that in the Q&A box. Okay. So let's get started. We have some hands raised. That's always great. Janet, you are first. Let's see what you got. All right, you. Let me see if I have to unmute you.
All right.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. Janet, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you again.
Well, you too. What's going on?
18 days away from the big wedding day.
18?
Yes.
That's exciting.
It is. A little stressful too, but exciting.
So what's up?
So I'm struggling, Kathy, with my weight loss. I feel like I'm at a standstill, and I'm not sure where I need to go.
All right.
I faithfully have been writing a 24-hour plan every day since January 1st. Ooh. I assess every day. I've been trying to level up. I've increased my water. I've actually been doing some arm weights and squats and stuff like that to kind of tone myself up a little bit and walk when I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just noticed, and I've been doing my tracker and keeping up with that. And I noticed last month in March, I had two areas follow my plan and eating 2 to 2 where I had about 80%.
Okay.
75 to 80%. So I realized those two areas I needed to really hone in on. So the month of April, my goal was to really nail the hunger scale and start leaving some bites behind at meals. When I thought I was at a +2, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's where I'm eating more. I've been, for the big ass action plan this month, I've been doing some intermittent fasting, you know, not eating breakfast because sometimes I'm really not hungry. I've had days where I've not ate snacks. Normally my snacks are a piece of fruit. Sometimes it's nuts. Lately I've been doing some of those peanut butter pretzel bites that you can get from Sam's. And I've been measuring them out in just a snack size. So I feel like I've been watching my, you know, portion, so I'm not just eating mindlessly. I've been eating, I think, well at dinner, protein, making sure I'm getting my vegetables in. Sometimes I have sweet potatoes, sometimes it's regular potatoes, sometimes it's rice, sometimes it's just meat and vegetables. But really, you know, being present when I'm eating and leaving food behind, even for lunch when I make a really good salad, with lots of vegetables and stuff on it. I'm leaving bites behind on that. I've just not seen, and I know it's the scale, and we talked about this last time, but I've really kind of seen a stop in everything. Like I don't see it in the measurements anymore. And I'm just, I don't know where else to go.
Tell me what you mean by you see a stop in everything. What does everything
like
mean?
I don't, my measurements aren't really going down much.
Okay.
I wasn't seeing in, you know, pictures and things like that. I was seeing things smaller. Because I was trying to find, you know, I was struggling with the number and the scale, and I was trying to find other ways to measure my success. And I feel like those things have stopped.
Okay. How far are you from goal?
So far, I've lost 30 pounds. So I've probably got about another, I want to go to 170. So I've got a little bit more to go.
Okay.
Another 50 pounds.
Okay. So are you, how, what percentage of April have you been following your plan?
So far, I have followed my plan. We're on day 16. I followed it every day so far except one day.
Okay.
And as far as eating 2 to 2 all day, I've only had one day that I did not eat 2 to 2.
Okay. So what else do you think you can level up?
That's where I think that's where I'm stuck.
Like
I I was doing about 80 ounces of water. I bumped it to about 100, sometimes 120.
Okay.
I thought, well, maybe I just need to stop my snacks. Normally I'll snack around 4 o'clock.
Okay.
That's always been my trouble time in the evening and the afternoon from 3, you know, till dinner. But I thought, well, maybe I'll put them on there, but really only eat them if I really need it.
Okay. And what does need it mean?
So today I didn't need it. So I had, you know, a pear planned and those pretzel bite, peanut butter bites. I didn't eat either one. I managed to get home, get supper fixed and ate supper. So I was good.
Okay. So when you're normally when you're eating your snack, are you at -2 or is it just the trouble time? So you plan something in case you needed it.
I plan it at that time, but it's been around 3 or 3:30, but I try to wait as long as I can. But then sometimes my day, I just get hungry and I feel like I do need it.
Tell me what lunch looks like most days.
Salad. I do a spring mix with, I love bell peppers. So I put a lot of bell peppers. I do a rotisserie chicken, just a little bit of that, some fresh, shredded, pepper jack cheese, a little bit of craisins and some sunflower seeds. And I measure out my,
your dressing.
Yes.
Do you like avocado?
Oh, I have that on there too. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. So you've got plenty of fat at lunch.
I do have half of an avocado. So
and what time do you eat lunch?
Around 12 or so? 12:30 sometimes.
Okay.
But anywhere between 12 and 1.
And what time do you eat dinner?
Usually between 6 and 7.
Okay. You should be able to go that long on that salad, I would think. Sounds like plenty of protein, plenty of fat, the seeds help and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And like, you know, yesterday I didn't eat breakfast, and I was able to get to my lunch without just being hangrier, you know, and I ate and I even left behind. So I don't know, this morning I felt a little hungry. So I had, normally in the morning I eat, an egg that I cook with Pam, I fry it and just have a piece of toast and then a fruit. So it's, you know, it's not enough. I mean, it's not a lot, but I feel like it gives me a protein and a little
carb. Okay, so before April, you were only 75 to 80% following your plan in your hunger scale. But in the past couple of weeks, you've only had one off-plan eat?
Yes.
And you've only eaten past your +2 one time? And you're leaving food behind? You're absolutely sure you're not overeating?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't know that. I think that I am. Like I said, when I leave the food behind, I've actually started making my salads smaller. I thought at first I was maybe making them a little too big, even though I was still leaving food behind. I felt like it was being very wasteful. So I started making my salads even smaller and still leaving. I still leave food behind. Like tonight I had hamburger with carrots and potatoes and some squash, and I left behind a good bit tonight because I felt satisfied. So I don't know, I may be not sure that I'm really at my plus two.
I think that's what I'd play with, and here's why. You're doing a really good job of eating to maintenance. Okay, so let's say you weigh, I don't remember what you said. I don't even know if
like
you said.
I weighed 210.
Okay.
4 last week. Well, not 2 weeks ago, and then this Friday I weighed 210.2. So I lost.
Okay, you know, that's basically maintenance. Yeah, I mean that's basically maintenance. So what you're doing is you're eating to sustain 210. Okay, with the quality of your food, which actually sounds pretty good, and the quantity. So I think that's where I would start, is seeing, you know, really, really paying attention to that +2. Have you ever heard the exercise I give to help you find +2? You ever heard this? Have I given this to you? You serve up your food, you eat half of it, and you wait 10 minutes. And in that 10 minutes, you journal about everything you feel in your body. How does your stomach feel, your throat, your head? You know, you do a total body scan to see what you're feeling. You know, if you're hungry, whether you're hungry, whether you're starting to be satisfied, what kind of conversation is going on in your head? So you wait 10 minutes. Then you, if you decide after that 10 minutes, you are not at plus two yet, you eat half again as much. So now you've eaten three quarters. You do the same thing for 10 minutes. You think about your body, you journal about it, you let your food settle, and you decide whether or not you're at plus two yet. And you just keep doing that half again until you have some, and you do it repeatedly, several meals, so that you can really clue in on plus two. I'll also tell you, I find that if I ask myself, I wonder if that's enough, that's time to stop.
Okay.
You ever hear that? You ever ask yourself that? You're in the middle of your meal and you think, I wonder if that's enough. And you just keep going. Has that ever happened to you?
It has. It has tonight. It did. And that's when I stopped.
Yeah. So, yeah. I really think that's the wisdom of our bodies. I think that's like a clue telling us that, at least I think it is for me. So you might listen for that voice as well. You sleeping?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's been a couple of nights. Normally I have 100% on that, my water and write my plan, but I did, in March. Well, let's see. No, I have had three nights this month so far that I didn't get my full 7 hours. And that's unusual for me. So, and then I will say this past weekend, I did have to go out of town for a bridal shower. So I was driving a lot and I don't feel like I probably was able to get my 100 ounces of water, and plus just eating out. Coming back in Monday, I weighed, of course, 2 pounds more than I did on Friday. And I just kind of chalked it up that, kind of got back on schedule yesterday, drinking my water, you know, eating not out. And then this morning, I'm still the same. So I was a little frustrated. I guess it may just take a little longer for my body to come back off that weekend. Even though I felt like I didn't snack, I had one sweet treat that I planned. I stayed on plan, didn't overeat. I just think maybe that threw me off.
Well, I'll tell you, I just came off of camp. You know, we had the 2 day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then we had camp Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the best night's sleep I got was about 6 hours and 15 minutes. And Saturday night was less than 5 hours. And I came home and I weighed Monday morning. I was up 2 pounds. And I don't eat a lot at camp. There's just no time. So the stress, I mean, that's, you know, just being on, not getting the sleep, the constant activity, you know, my body holds on to nutrients because it thinks I'm going to continue to push it that hard. So it just holds on to stuff in case it needs it because I'm working so hard. So if you had an experience like that over the weekend and you weren't sleeping as well and you were go, 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 it's very likely your body just hasn't released that yet. So I would really pay attention to plus two. I'd nail in on that. It's almost always plus two. And just make sure you're cleaning up, you know, your minus two as well. So it's almost always, I taught a class one time about, I have the secret to losing weight. Okay. And it was all about you stop overeating. I mean, that's right. So if you can figure out, it sounds like you've trimmed your snack a little bit. If you really hone in on your hunger scale and really, really think about it, pull out that, there's a hunger scale worksheet in No BS, and it has a lot of blanks in it. So it'll have minus 10 or plus 10 at the top and minus 10 at the bottom. And you actually fill in some of the blanks with some of your own body's cues. If you really fill that out intentionally, you may learn some things too. So that's the way I'd go next. If at the end of the month you still haven't lost any weight, post about 5 good days of food logs and ask coaches. And we'll see what we can find there. Okay?
That sounds good. I just feel like I've been stuck. I can't get past 210. I'm like, 210, 212. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this ever going to move?
I'll tell you one more thing you said at the very beginning is that you're how many days from the wedding?
18.
And you're stressed.
Yes.
Stress in your body raises a hormone called cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cortisol inhibits weight loss. So find a way to release some of that stress, whether it's going for a big run, meditating, doing some self-care, telling yourself it's not a reason to be stressed, whatever it is, find a way to mitigate that stress and you'll probably help yourself out some too.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for your
help. Welcome.
Good to talk to you again.
You too. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Tammy, you're next. Here she comes.
Hello.
Hi. How are you doing? Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I spoke to you last time a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked out the main thing was I was engaging in confusion. So I've taken that forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that, and actually where it showed up in other parts of my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, holy wow, huge lesson for me, still working on it. But I kind of had something happen. For the first time, I followed my plans. So last week, and I was super excited about this. I had a really good weigh-in result. So I lost 2.2 kilos. So that's like 4-something pounds, or I'm not sure. And after that, I just seemed to go downhill. I've still shown up. I've done my 24-hour plans. I do the assessments in the morning, the 24-hour plan assessments. But I just feel like I put down here, I said it's become automatic. And I think I've picked the big hard thing, which is my goals. And I did message my accountability partner around this. And I was like, I think I've made my goals too big, because I had a gain of 1.1 kilo this week. And I went, you know, did my review for the week and what I did wrong and where I felt, you know, my results were coming from for that weight gain. And I think it's my goals. And every morning I come in here and I write down my, you know, your 60-day goal, your 1-month goal, your 1-week goal. And I just feel like my goals are just not right. Like, for instance, next week, my first goal, my 1-month goal is to hit 95 kilos. I don't think that's going to be possible because I'm 97 or 98 this right now. So I'm just, because I'm writing it out and I think a part of my mind is going, well, that's not realistic, you know, and I feel like I'm setting myself up for something, if you know what I'm saying. Like, and I've been so hungry lately and I'm thinking maybe I'm not doing my plans right. Maybe I'm engaging in confusion.
Let me ask you this. If I told you I would give you $10,000 to make 95 kilos in a week, do you think you could do it?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not your goals.
Okay. So what is it?
It's what, well, you tell me. What did your assessment reveal?
Okay, well, let me just go to that. Okay, so my big thing was, as I said, when I wrote my number down and I put the I believe this number means, I said my mind needs to be protected is what I wrote. And
how many
I feel like... Or sorry.
Go ahead.
I feel like as if I'm showing up and I'm doing my plan, like I'm writing it out, but then I'm just going, oh, whatever. I'm kind of just writing it down and I give myself so many snacks and I never eat them all. But I think because I run a couple days a week and I swim a couple days a week and I do yoga. And it's also school holidays here in Australia. So it's my kids are around, etc. And I don't know if that's, I'm just saying.
How many days a week do you follow your plan? Did you follow your plan? The week that you went up 1.1 kilos or whatever it was, how many days a week did you follow your plan?
I think I followed it. I'm pretty sure three.
Okay.
But during that week, I went out and I had planned it and I put in, I'm going to have burger and fries, right? And ever since I had that for lunch, I feel like as if I'm just craving sweet stuff all the time. I'm just wanting all this sort of stuff. But
so you followed your plan less than half the time.
Yes, that's correct. But that was the first, that was the norm for me previously, minus that 1 week I did.
Okay. Well, we're just looking at, this week since the good weigh-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And you had a burger and fries. So you planned an exception, which is totally fine. Did you eat the burger and fries to your plus two?
Absolutely. I didn't even finish the burger and I hardly ate any of my fries.
Okay. All right. Have you eaten the rest of your meals? That week, did you eat the rest of your meals to plus two?
I would say, yeah, I actually think I'm nailing that. Like where I'm stopping, mm-hmm. I think I'm nailing that. I think I am.
Okay. So when you did your assessment and you looked back, what did your keep start stop say? Did you do a keep start stop?
Which is,
you may not have done one. In the weigh-in thread, we ask you to pick one thing you would keep doing, one thing you would start doing, and one thing you would stop doing.
Yes.
Okay.
What was yours? Have fun with showing up, committing to myself and my, so start committing to myself and my goal. Mm-hmm. Stop saying or believing I am sore. Yeah, because my body is like really sore at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm like trying to get that mind right of I'm actually not sore. I can do something about that. Yeah. So that was the, yes.
Yeah, go back to that start. Start committing to your plan or your goal.
Committing to myself.
Committing to yourself.
And my goal. Because yeah.
So in what way were you not committed to yourself and your goal?
Well, it's just what thought comes up every single time. Mm-hmm. I do my daily assessment. It's now like when I show up, sometimes I just feel like crap. And I'm like, well, why is the reason? I think it's like every 24-hour plan, I'm going, oh, I'm not committing to myself. I'm not committing to myself. Like maybe
are you?
I mean,
are you committing to yourself?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not following.
Why aren't you following your plan?
Because I'm giving myself permission to snack on other stuff. And I'm giving myself permission. I'm not committing.
Yeah, that's why. Mm. Because you're giving in to the thoughts that you can have a snack when it's not planned or when you're not hungry. Okay, so you're giving in even sounds like you're a victim to it. You're just deciding. You are just deciding to eat off plan. Okay, so you have that little suggestion, hey, a snack would be good even though we're not hungry. And instead of going, hey, we're not hungry and it's not on the plan, you're saying, oh yeah, sure would, let's have some.
Mm.
Okay, so once you start thinking of it in those terms, that every eating opportunity is a decision that you're making, you take ownership for it. It's not the kids. It's not the plan. It's not the work. It's not the soreness. It's not the exercise. It's me deciding to eat off plan or deciding to eat a snack when I'm not hungry or deciding to eat two bites past plus two or whatever the decision is, right?
Yeah.
So you're not committed because you're not practicing commitment. Yeah. And it is a practice. You know, you're going to have suggestions to eat all day long. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you just are. That's just the nature of the beast, especially if you're used to feeding yourself all day long. Mm-hmm. Right? And it sounds like, you know, you're used to having these suggestions to eat, and you're just used to saying, okay, that sounds like a good suggestion. Now you have to practice the other side of it. Is this really what I want right now, or do I want to be back down on the scale?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when I'm trying to evaluate whether it's really physical hunger or if it's, you know, stress eating or emotional hunger or something like that, I'll ask myself, what am I really hungry for right now?
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. I did my compelling reason because like I'm almost done the BS module. And finally almost there, and I did my compelling reason and it came and I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what, and it was, I was just so aligned with it.
What was it?
Do you want to know it?
Sure.
Okay. So I deserve and I am worth feeling and looking strong, confident, and adventurous. What I have to say, teach, and share in this lifetime is important. I am meant to lead and empower by example.
Ooh, I love it. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I think maybe I need to put some of these things, I'm a very visual person, and I think I need to put some of these post-it notes up on my fridge so I can have that actual reminder.
Yep.
And be aligned with it. And it's not, so don't worry about my goals, just stick it in.
Your goals are never too big.
Okay.
All right. You have you have a goal. Let's say it's to weigh 90 kilos. I don't even know how that translates. You said you were trying to get, let's say your goal is 90.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 90 kilos after 2 weeks. You know, it's a huge goal, right? That's a lot of weight to lose in 2 weeks. Well, what you learn when you are going toward a goal is during the process. It's not reaching the goal. The victory is what you're learning about yourself as you're working toward the goal. You can always change the goal. It doesn't matter. The goal is in the C line. You have a thought about the goal, and your thought is it's too big. What if your thought is, the goal doesn't matter because I'm working really hard? Or your thought is, I love this goal and I'm going to see if I can get it. Or I'm open to believing I'll get this goal. It doesn't matter whether or not you attain the goal. What matters is that you're working toward it and you're learning about yourself. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I say about the person you have to become to achieve it is what I say.
Right.
I get this block with myself.
And you have to, you just got to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
You're just having a conversation in your head that's leading you down the road of snacking. You need to answer yourself. Talk to yourself as if you were coaching someone else.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You're not committing to yourself. Why not? Well, because, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not that the goal is too big. You said it yourself. It's all about the person you're becoming as you're trying to get to the goal, because you can always change the goal. If I have a goal, I had a goal to lose 6 pounds by camp. Okay. I lost one.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I failed, right?
That's
it just means I learned some things that I should probably trim up if I want to lose 5 more pounds. That's all it means to me.
Absolutely. So it's like in one of the modules that I did in the BS, it said, I had a goal that I wanted to be 79 kilos, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had said, Corinne had said something around, make it bigger, make it bigger. And I went, shit, I'm going to actually make it 65 kilos. And because I've never thought that, I don't know if it's possible. And then I've worked back the numbers and gone, oh, okay, it's this. So maybe not stressing like what you said and just taking it out of it. Because I think what I'm doing is I'm making that as an excuse for why I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So I won't make this goal anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Where it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's about me making better choices and really thinking about that 65 kilos in the back of my mind. I think that's 120 pounds or 140 or I don't even know.
Yeah.
But that's what I think it is, because I'm picking on these little things. Like even today, I wasn't going to show up and I went, I need to show up, because otherwise I'm stuffing with my head. Like I'm really stuffing with my head. I'm not getting anything. So thank you for being here so I can talk. I just need a picture of you somewhere. I'll just talk to you each weekend.
I'll leave you with one other thing. Back in August last year, the PMP team got together for a team meeting and we set impossible goals. We actually called them boom goals. Boom is blow our own mind. Okay.
Wow. That's awesome.
And every one of us said, this is a boom goal. This is one. And they were all what we call impossible goals. Things we would love to have that we never even dreamed we could have. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly all of what mine were, but I looked at them the other day and I had since August achieved half of them. And they were all boom goals, like leave my job, have my own home office, things like that. So your goals can never be too big, because you just don't know, when you put your mind to it, you just don't know what you can do. until you really set the goal and start thinking about it and coming up with an action plan to accomplish it.
Yeah. Because I guess it's good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to in a lot of other ways, but this is the learning part, isn't it? It's this part. So it's not like I'm just. Okay, I'm on it. Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're very welcome. Brilliant. See you later.
See you, Dylan.
Okay, bye. Abby, you are next. That was fun. I love talking about goals. Abby, are you there? Hi, I can't see you. Is that on purpose?
No. I'm not sure why you can't see me. I don't. Did they do something?
I think your camera is off.
Let's see here. Integrated camera. It looks like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's on. It's a work. I have no idea.
Well, I promise it's not on. Tell me what you need.
Well, I'm having a really difficult time getting back into the groove of things after I took a trip to Europe with my daughter.
Okay.
I had every intention of planning while I was on vacation, but I didn't. And I'll be on plan for 4 or 5 days, and then I'll have a binge. And then I'll be back on plan for a couple of days, and then I will overeat or binge again at night. I'm doing the recovery worksheets every single time. Mm-hmm. The trend is, of course, at night. Mm-hmm. When I'm by myself, when the kids are in bed, I don't know. It's crazy.
So were you doing this before Europe?
I was, yeah.
Okay. Tell me your pattern before Europe. Was it a couple of days in, you know, back in the groove and then a binge, couple of days back in the groove and then a binge, kind of like now?
No, it was longer stretches of time between binges.
Okay.
I would say a week, 2 weeks, I would go and I would be 100% on plan. I would be following my 2-2. You know, I have lost 56 pounds. I've gained about 8 pounds of that back, which frustrates me and annoys me. I know why. Because I'm not following the plan. Following my plan. I'm not doing the things that I need to do. And every single morning I wake up and say, okay, you're going to follow the plan today. It's massive action. This is your massive action for today.
Yeah. So,
and then I don't.
Tell me why you're binging. What thought is leading to the binge? What thought and feeling is leading to the binge?
I think it's, well, nobody can see me, so I can get away with this. Because it's usually in secret.
Okay, but you can see you. So that's a lie. So what else is it? What else is going on? So we just said that we just debunked that one. I used to eat in secret. Did you know that? I never really thought about it. I used to, when my husband would leave for the evening or leave for the day or whatever, I'd hit the kitchen and I would eat a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this and till I couldn't eat anymore to, you know, but I would make sure I didn't eat a lot of something so that he would know. And I didn't realize this was like secret eating until I became a coach. And I looked back and I saw my patterns. And then I thought, you know what? It's not a secret. I know. The scale knows and my pants know. So it's really not a secret, right?
No, it's not.
So anyway, why are you compelled to do this when the kids go to bed?
I think, you know, I still think that part of the time it's because that's my time to finally wind down and relax.
Well, that's it. This is how you've chosen to wind down and relax. Does it wind you down and relax you?
Sure.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it does for a minute.
What it does, Abby, is it distracts you from being lonely or tired or whatever. It takes your mind off of whatever your mind is on, and it allows you to think about the food and zone out. It doesn't relax you. It distracts you.
So, you know, I've been coached on this before, and Corinne says, well, you just need to stop. You just need to sit there in the discomfort. And while I agree with that in theory, yeah, that sounds really great. Wish I could. I don't know. I think I'm almost better off trying to distract myself with something else. You know, instead of sitting in front of the TV, it maybe if I just go read a book.
Okay. Have you tried that?
I read.
Have you tried that?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm just supposed to be sitting there.
Oh.
And being sitting in discomfort.
Okay. Well, there is something to that, to learning to sit in discomfort. I bet you there are other times during your day you are uncomfortable, right? Do you sit in traffic?
No, because thankfully I work from home. So most of the time, no.
So give me another example of times that you sit in discomfort.
Oh, when I'm on a really boring conference call or webinar.
Yeah. So you know how to do that. You know how to sit in discomfort. Give me another time you've sit in discomfort. Tell me something else. You like standing in line at the grocery store or at the DMV or wherever? That's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't feel the same.
Well, I just want you to know that you do practice discomfort. It may not feel the same as sitting in discomfort for a binge because you're, you know, trying to avoid a binge because the voices in your head are going, eat, eat, eat. But you do know how to sit in discomfort. Mm. I really, you know, a level up for you might be to go read a book and see if you can distract yourself, if you can just tell. But what I would do is not just set aside those voices. I would talk to them. You know, whatever the thought is that's saying, it's time to eat, Abby, you know, or let's go eat, Abby, you answer it back and you say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to eat tonight. I think I'm going to go read a book. And you say it out loud because then your brain hears you and you hear yourself telling yourself that. What if you were to try something like that?
No, absolutely. I can absolutely try that. That probably, yeah, to go from what I'm doing now to just done is impossible.
Maybe a level up is to just open the door to the conversation rather than just answering with, okay, I'll eat, right?
Yeah, sometimes it seems to happen so fast, though, that I have no idea what I'm thinking. I just know that I'm shoveling food down my gullet.
Okay. Then when you catch yourself shoveling food, you say, wait a minute. I've decided I'm not going to eat tonight, so I'm finished now.
Okay.
See?
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah. Because a binge always stops, right?
Well, yeah, it does eventually.
Right. So what if you are in charge of when it starts and when it stops?
Well, that would be novel.
But you can be.
I can be.
Sure. Can't you?
Of course I can.
Here's the other thing you can try. You can set a timer and say, I'm sitting in discomfort for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, if I still want to eat, I'm eating this amount of food.
Okay.
Okay. So which one are you going to try first? I've thrown a lot at you. Which one are you going to try first?
If the thought is there prior to me doing it to say, listen, I'm not eating right now. I'm going to go do something else, whatever that is.
Okay. So and you're going to tell yourself, you're going to say out loud, I'm going to read a book. I'm not eating right now.
Right.
Okay.
And then if I just am not even aware of the thoughts and just find myself eating, I will talk to myself and say, okay, we're not going to eat tonight. You're done now. Go read a book, go do something else, whatever it is.
We are now leaving the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you have to just try different things and see what works for you. And then do you have shame after your binge? Are you ashamed of yourself, or are you just like, well, pff, damn it. There we go again. You know, what is the after part of the binge look like?
Oh yeah. I'm ashamed of it. I'm disappointed in myself.
Okay.
That's
what you have to stop. All right. That's the part I want you to stop right now. After a binge, you pull out a recovery worksheet, you work on it, but you tell yourself there's no shame. This is a learning opportunity. This is where I'm trying to figure myself out. The binge is now in the C line. It's in the past. You get to attach shame to it, or you get to attach neutrality to it, or whatever, or learning experience, or whatever. But you have to stop the shame, because the shame just puts you into a cycle, right?
I think that's, why I'm not following my plans too, because I get, right. You know, if I make a mistake, if I overeat, if I do whatever, I'm like, well, fuck it.
Exactly.
And the whole rest of the day is for shit. And then it takes 2, 3, 4 right. days to get back on it.
Right.
And I'm just so sick of doing that.
Yeah. So after a binge, if, you know, when you stop your binge, because you will, you get right back on plan. You're not allowed to sit in shame, and you're not allowed to give up the rest of the day anymore.
So how do you get yourself to not feel that?
Practice. But what happens is you'll probably feel the shame and the disappointment, but when you get back on plan, you're proving to yourself that you're not broken, because you can get back on plan. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the next eating decision comes and you're back on plan. And if you're doing this at night, that's probably breakfast the next morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or lunch. I usually don't even eat breakfast because I'm not hungry for breakfast most days.
Right back on plan. Okay. I'm not broken. I just had a binge and I'm figuring this out.
Okay. I was listening to one of the previous folks, and the whole getting to year plus two exercise that you have, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good one.
I noticed today, you know, I ate my planned yogurt and fruit and I was fine. I mean, I finished my brunch, I guess I would call it. Mm-hmm. And then 10 minutes later, I realized, oh, I maybe only needed half of that yogurt and fruit.
Right, because what we forget is that it takes several minutes for the food we swallow to reach our stomach. And the stomach is what we're relying on to tell us if we're at plus two, right?
Well, that, and I think, you know, I did a recovery worksheet on that. And I guess what I realized was, well, this is what I had planned. And what if I'm hungry in an hour? This right. should last me 3 or 4 hours, but if it doesn't last me 3 or 4 hours, I shouldn't be eating before 3 or 4 hours. So I'm just going to eat it all.
Okay. So what happens? Let's just war game this. Okay. So what if you're hungry again in an hour? What do you do?
Well, eat.
Yeah.
Just not as much, probably.
Right.
Well, and that's what I realized after doing the recovery sheet. I'm like, well, this is stupid. You can eat again anytime you're hungry. Knock it off.
Okay. Right. Except the stupid part. Don't call yourself stupid.
Okay. Sorry.
That hurts my feelings for you. But it is interesting when you think about, you know, okay, what if I do get hungry in an hour? Oh yeah, I can have a snack because I have one planned.
Well, and I think that's the other thing that I need to do too, is plan snacks, plan more realistic, you know, plan more realistically than I have been, because I'm trying to do the perfect plan and it's obviously that doesn't work.
Right.
So I can eat the snacks or not. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to write it down because that is what I have got to do to keep myself sane.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice some of the things that we talked about tonight. And in another week or two, I want you to come back to me and tell me how they've worked.
Okay.
And if you need some more something to practice, I have something else in my bag of tricks to give you, but I don't want to give you everything at once. I want you to try a few things and see if they work first.
Okay, if they no, do, I think if they work right now.
Yeah. And if these do it, then everything is golden.
Okay. Okay? Thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate you so much.
Okay. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, Liz, you're up. Liz, I can't see you. Okay. I have another camera off.
It says camera off?
Well, I just have a blank screen. I can see me, but I can't see you. Uh-oh.
I don't know why that is. I'll try one more time. Any better now?
Nope, I can't see. You can see me?
Yeah, I can see you. It's strange.
That is strange because I could see the first couple people. And it, when I click on you, it asks me if I want to stop your video.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. It's the last time I did.
Well, now you're muted. Okay.
No, I'm. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I apologize.
Okay. Well, just talk to me. What you got?
So I just had a quick question, actually.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out. I took your advice and I listened to all the No BS via mm-hmm. podcast.
Okay.
And I'm interested in getting the other courses.
Okay.
Via podcast, and I don't know how to do that.
Oh. If you go to pmptribe.com, toolkit, I believe it's in toolkit. Look for the private member podcast page where we give you instructions on how to download it. There is a different URL for tribe courses.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's actually, there are three different private member podcasts. One is No BS, one is Tribe Courses, and one is Tribe Lives. And so all of the Zoom calls and the Facebook Lives will be in the Tribe Lives. Of course, No BS will be in No BS. And then all the other bonus courses will be in the Tribe Courses podcast. Now, you may have to scroll through them. I think there are quite a few. You might have to scroll the list to find the course that you're looking for, but all the courses are in there.
Okay.
All okay. Right.
I'll go to the toolkit then.
Okay. If you can't find it, email us at support and Sadie can hook you right up. She's super good.
Yeah, I did and I didn't hear back.
When did you email?
Early today.
Okay. Sadie was at camp too, so she's been flying. So she probably, it's Tuesday. She usually takes Monday off, but she worked. So she may have just taken a breather. After 5 days of camp, we're all kind of tired.
No, that's fine. I wasn't sure. So, it's fine.
Yeah.
So you let me know. I appreciate it.
Yes. I'm sure she'll get back to you very shortly. In the meantime, go to toolkit and see if you can, if you loaded the No BS podcast, it's the same way. It's just a different URL.
Okay. All right. No problem. I can figure that out then.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Melissa Thompson, you're up. Oh, good. I can see you. Let me unmute you.
Hi.
All right.
Stop talking.
Hi.
I have a 5-year-old in the car, so he will not be joining our conversation, though we talked about it.
Okay.
So I've been doing really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Up until about a week ago. Can you hear me okay? Am I loud enough?
Are you talking to me? Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry. So I did a stupid thing and allowed my antidepressants to last. And about a week ago, I just suddenly kind of hit a wall in terms of motivation. I was 2.5 pounds away from Century Club, and then last week I gained 7 pounds. I just ate, and just there were things going on in terms of my career and my marriage and all sorts of things that were just, I just couldn't deal with any of them, and I ate my way through all of it. And I have gotten a refill of my prescription, and I'm kind of waiting for myself to re-regulate in terms of the medication. But I don't know how intensely to dive back into where I was in terms of, like, I felt really confident. I was doing intermittent fasting because it works really well with, I'm a teacher, and so it saves me having to think about lunch. I would just eat one fairly large meal. But now that I've gone so sideways for a while, I'm a little bit afraid of jumping back in, like, at that level. So I just wanted some suggestions about where to go after a real...
Are you still there? I have lost Melissa. I wonder if her phone died because she was in the car. Let's try this. She may have lost her signal. All right, I'm going to, just so we don't have a lot of dead time here, I'm going to take her back down to attendee. Hopefully she'll come back because I had a really great answer for her. Carly, you're up. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you and see you.
Yay!
Awesome.
All right. So a little bit of background. I joined in January, but kind of quickly got off track, and I'm starting fresh right now with the April newbies.
Okay.
Currently in the middle of module 2. My main focus right now is really just realistic planning. Like, I'm really just trying to meet myself where I'm at.
Okay.
So last weekend, my husband and I booked a night away at a hotel up in the mountains, and I planned for pizza at our favorite pizza place up there, as well as dessert. And I realize now I was just very general, like pizza from here and dessert. And now I realize I should have been more specific in my planning.
Why should you have been more specific? Why do you?
Because I ended up binging on way too much pizza and sweets and ate way past my 2. And so.
Okay. But you ate what was on the plane. You just ate too much?
Yes.
So.
I had an overeat, which is, that's okay. Kind of a problem, but the question actually, I think I know what I did. I did a recovery worksheet. Mm-hmm. I think I know what I need to do differently next time. But the overarching problem is that, like, with this getaway, for example, it was a last minute getaway, but the few days leading up to it, I was really very much mostly looking forward to the food. And this is, I'm realizing now with when I did the recovery worksheet that I do this all the time with, like, special occasions and travel. I travel a lot for work or for vacations. It's so, I make such a big deal about the food. And I think that eventually leads to binging because I just, like, build it up. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice for thought work I could be doing or actions I could be taking to start to unpack and, like, separate the food from these experiences, because I really need to start, you know, valuing the time I'm spending with people or the new places I'm seeing, and I make it so much about the food, and it's causing.
Why shouldn't, if you're seeing new places and trying new things, why shouldn't you enjoy the food?
Well, I want to, it's not that I don't want to enjoy the food, because I know with the tools I have now with the 24-hour plan and eating to my 2 that I can do that, but mm-hmm. I just don't want to hype it up so much and just spend so much time, like, leading up to it. And even when I'm there, just, like, looking forward to the food, and I focus too much on the food, and it's about so much more. And then that just leads to, like, a binge. Okay. Or
the focus on the food doesn't lead to the binge. There's something else, you know, that food is meant to be enjoyed. You know, if we weren't supposed to be, you know, enjoying our food, we would just have beets to eat. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you go somewhere and you have, you know, food opportunities that you don't normally have and they're planned, the problem is not the focus on the food. The problem is the overeating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's the choice to overeat because of a thought in your head. And the thought is probably, this is a special occasion. I'll never get this again. I don't know where I'll be again. I don't know if I'll ever eat pizza again or dessert again. All right. That's the problem. It's the thought about the food, not the food itself.
Yes.
Not the special food. Okay. So what you have to do then is figure out how to mitigate that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I'll have this food again. I can come back here again. They make pizza at home too. You know, whatever it is that you have to tell yourself. I gave an assignment to somebody not too long ago that I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to write down 25 thoughts you have about food that lead to overeating. Like
just food in general.
Yeah, that lead to overeating. Okay. And there might be things like, I don't know when I'll have this again. Or this tastes so good, I don't want to stop. Whatever your thoughts are, find 25 mm-hmm. of them.
So and they're then, to it or while I'm eating it.
Right.
Okay.
Then you write down an answering thought. Okay. So the one I'm thinking of, and I told this girl, I'm going to use this example until everyone in the tribe has heard it. What I'm thinking of is she said her thought was, I don't know when I'll have this again. And her answering thought was, unless this is made on Mars, I'm sure I can have it again.
It's usually very simple.
Right. Right. It's all it is drama in your head mm-hmm. about what's in front of you in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. So you just figure out how to answer that drama. Of course I can have this again. You know, you just put a real logical answer to that. It's not that it's not that you shouldn't enjoy food when you go on vacation. Okay. You made a plan for pizza and ice cream or dessert, and that's exactly what you should have done. You ate pizza and dessert. You stayed on plan. You just ate past your plus two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you go back and look at it, why did you eat past your plus two? Why did you overeat that?
And I knew in the back of my mind a few days that this was going to happen.
So you'd already given yourself permission.
Subconsciously. Yeah. Like now yeah. I'm real. Like I knew yes. to keep it sort of non-specific. So I was giving myself permission and I posted about this in the Facebook group and someone touched on like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, what upper limit you set. Like it's really about eating past your plus two. And I knew I was inadvertently giving myself permission to do so.
I can't tell you the number of times I have told people who went on vacation, you know, who are like, I don't know how to plan. I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know where we're going to go. You be nonspecific. You say, I eat, you know, the best choice I can find and I eat to my plus two. It's always about that plus two on vacation.
Yeah.
So you had given yourself pre-permission to overeat by saying, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to follow a plan. So that's what you did, right? You can plan pizza. You can plan pizza every day. You just have to evaluate whether or not you like that on the scale. But mm-hmm. you can definitely. I had cauliflower crust pizza for dinner. I planned it. It was delicious.
I'm having pizza tonight too, but more homemade, healthier version. So
right. And that's a level up and that's fine. You gave yourself permission and then you decided that you'd never get that pizza again, I guess. I don't know. Whatever that was.
I'll go up there to water.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's okay too, right? You just, next time you go up, say, I'm going to get to have that pizza again.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I'll do that exercise. Thank you.
So do that. Yeah. Write down all those answering thoughts and then practice them. When you hear the thought come in, think, what was my answering thought? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like I was telling Abby, when she has the urge to eat, what am I really hungry for?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I really hungry right now? Or, you know, whatever, you know, just figure out how to answer that thought so that you can start the conversation in your head that keeps you from overeating.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to tell you I know I'm preaching to the choir, but these recovery worksheets, I've done three in the last week. It's my first time. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It's just amazing. The stuff that you find. So yeah.
Funny to listen to yourself talk to yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's funny the things we say to ourselves, for sure.
I know. Yeah, and the self-talk is definitely something I've been working on for a while, way before PMP. So it definitely makes a big difference. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right. See you later. Okay, Melissa, you're next. I don't see Melissa Thomas back yet. If you're here, Melissa Thomas, go ahead and raise your hand and let's finish your call. Deborah, it's me, Kathy. Deborah asked who was the coach today. It's Coach Kathy. Yeah, I'm using Corinne's Zoom account. That's why it says me. All right, Melissa, you are unmuted. Hello.
Hey, Miss Kathy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have three really specific questions for you.
Okay.
So one, I heard in a couple of the podcasts, I don't remember if they were lives or just the other podcasts, about building in like a stop when you are going to eat, or like if you habitually eat at a certain time, or if you find out that, for instance, just the other day, I was just walking through the kitchen and there was something laying out and I just grabbed it and without a thought just popped it in my mouth. And it was just one tiny little thing, but I was like, oh, I didn't plan for that. Mm-hmm. So, but I heard a couple of people talking about built-in stops and I thought, what could those be? I don't know exactly.
Okay. Was it a stop or a pause? It's probably a pause. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So in that case, if it happened that quickly, it's probably not a place where you'd actually intentionally have a pause. The pause would come afterwards where you say, okay, I did that. I'm going to do a recovery sheet and I'm not going to eat anymore. Okay. But in the case like Abby was talking about earlier in the call, when she has the urge to eat at night, when everybody's gone to bed and she's alone and whatever, she builds in, I was talking to her about waiting 10 minutes, right? And deciding whether or not she really wants to eat or what she might really be hungry for. That's the pause, okay. Right? It's actually telling yourself when you have the urge to overeat or the urge to binge or the urge to eat off plan, I'm going to wait 10 minutes and really think about this and then make the decision.
Okay.
So it's slowing your roll, basically, before
what about when it's not really, like you're not even really having an urge to eat. It's just, I don't know, something that you typically do that you're not even really conscious of. Like, for instance, let's say you're like making sandwiches for your kids or something and made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you just habitually, when you're all done, you lick the knife or whatever, and you're just trying to stop doing that.
Okay, that's when you do a recovery worksheet. You catch yourself licking the knife and you say, that's not a habit I want to keep doing. I'm going to get out a recovery worksheet and I'm going to do the recovery worksheet.
Okay. So that's not like something that everybody just says, okay, like, let me build this in, this habit before I ever put anything in my mouth. Let me just build it habitual.
If it's that fast and that habitual a habit that you're doing it before you ever realize it, you can't really insert a pause, right? Because it's already in your mouth, right? It's when you have a decision point that you want to insert a pause.
Right.
But when it comes to those really quick grabs like that, those really are great places for you to do a recovery worksheet so you can figure out, raise the awareness on when you're doing it. Because you have to slow the process down in order to incorporate the pause. And if you can slow that process down, like let's say you're making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you're eyeballing the knife of peanut butter before you actually, you know, pop it into your mouth, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you see it coming and you're like, wait, no, stop. Okay, that's what happens eventually after you've made enough peanut butter sandwiches and you look at the knife afterwards and say, I really want to stop doing this. You know, you raise the awareness that that's your habit and you begin to catch yourself earlier in the habit until it's before you actually eat the peanut butter.
Okay.
Little baby steps of progress.
That makes sense. Okay, next question. A snack, do you eat to your two with a snack?
I don't.
Okay.
If I need a snack.
You know it's a snack. And so you just eat just the planned snack and don't. Okay.
Well, to me, a snack is a snack. It's not a meal. Okay. So if I need a snack, it's usually still a couple of hours, couple, 3 hours from dinner time. And I don't want to eat to my plus two because I want to be hungry for dinner. So I, you know, if I'm at a minus two and there's still several hours to dinner, I might eat to zero so that my hunger has a chance to return by dinner time.
Is the goal then to just eliminate snacks, to just eat like meals to your plus two and then wait till the next meal and eat to your plus two?
I don't know if that's the goal. I think, you know, I plan a snack every day. Well, just about every day I plan a snack. If you don't want a snack, then all I would do is just add a little bit of fat to your meal.
Okay.
Okay. So like if you're making a big salad and you know it only lasts you 4 hours, but it's usually six till dinner, I'd add half an avocado. Okay. Because that'll usually help that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
And last question, really quick. Okay. Actually, this may not be the quickest one.
Okay.
So I said it to last. First of all, thank you for coaching time last week. And I'm so sorry I cried on you.
That's all right. That is no problem.
That was just
no, it's fine. It's fine.
So I've been doing what you said.
Okay.
And that nighttime, especially when I get home, I mean, obviously when I'm on the road, I can't stop and journal, but the journaling is helping the nighttime. Eating, mm-hmm. just not even going for the food, just grabbing my journal. And I've even started just kind of placing it by my bed early, like out of my bag and putting it there so that it's right there where I can just get a hold of it. But I realized through all of that journaling, and just I journal a lot at night. I wasn't expecting that, just pages and pages and pages. But I'm having trouble like replacing some of those thoughts, just like particularly, you know, I told you, like you were asking me, you know, what was I thinking about at night? And I was like, I'm trying to not think. I think it's my issue. Mm-hmm. But the thoughts that I'm having as I've kind of gone through that journaling are like, okay, this is never going to end. This situation is never going to end. This is going to be ongoing. My little girl is just so sick. I can't see the other side of this. And I think, okay, like, I don't know how I'm going to get everything all done and take care of her. But how can you just give me some help with replacement thoughts? And I know there are some like keywords that you guys add on, like prefixes and suffixes to sentences.
Yeah.
And those are in the podcast somewhere, but I don't know exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Do any of those right off the top of your head?
That yes, I do. I would, to level up that thought, I would say, sometimes I think this is never going to end.
Sometimes I think. Okay.
Yeah. That takes the absolute off of it.
Okay.
Okay. You could also say, it's okay that this may never end.
Okay.
I don't know if you can buy into that or not, but if your situation with your kids is one that, you know, is going to be ongoing, then you might need to come to terms with that it may not end. And that's okay because you love your kids. Right?
That's a big thought. Okay.
Yeah.
That is. Okay. All right. Sometimes I think.
Sometimes I think. Right. Takes the absolute off of it.
And where would that be in the ladder? That's like a neutral?
Well, that's for you to decide. Okay. When I say, sometimes I think, when we put in the model, sometimes I think this is never going to end. What feeling does that bring to you? What feeling do you get?
I like that one because that just makes it a thought and not necessarily a truth.
So is it relief then?
Yeah.
Is it acceptance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Relief is a great word.
Okay. So do you work them? Do you do models?
Yes. Well, I've only just begun.
Okay. So when you feel.
I'm doing it in April.
Oh, okay.
Listen to the podcast since January.
Okay.
I really just joined the tribe in April and I'm really just now starting to work through the models.
Okay. So when you feel relief, what do you do? about your kids. You know, kids are in the C line.
Yes. Open,
What was the thought again? I need to write this down.
Oh, no, it's okay. Sometimes I think.
Sometimes I think this is never going to end.
Yeah.
And that's relieving to you.
Yeah.
Because that brings relief.
Yeah, because the initial thought was, this is never going to end.
Okay.
Like, when this cycle of, like, just a little bit better and then completely sick again and driving mm-hmm. several days a week and hospital visits and days and days and days in the hospital, sometimes I think this is never going to end.
Okay.
That is relieving,
okay.
I guess.
What if your thought is, I can handle this today? What if you just look at today rather than at the end? Today, I got this today.
Okay.
What if you just kind of take all that? I think that's part of your problem, part of your pain is that this is never going to end, right? You're looking so far into the future and you don't know, you know, nobody can predict the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 50 years from now, right? Right. What if you just bring it all back and say, I've got this today. Today I've got handled. Tomorrow, I'll handle tomorrow. Does that even sit with you at all? Doesn't look like it. No.
Well, I'm thinking usually this is at night, after the day is already over.
Okay. And, so then you've got tomorrow. Yeah. Whatever comes up tomorrow, then I got tomorrow.
Okay. That's hard.
All right.
It really is. That's hard.
All right. So we'll go back to, all right, that's all right. That's all right. That one doesn't land with you, and that's fine. You know, it's okay.
I'm not trying to be problematic.
No, you are not being problematic. All right. So we've got the kids, and we've got, sometimes I think this is never going to end. Now, when I say that, does that really bring relief?
Well, it did, like the very first time you said it, because it was so drastically different.
Okay. So what is it?
Never going to end. It was just that it's not true. That's not necessary. It doesn't make the thought true.
Okay. So what is the feeling? Is it still relief? Or is it,
like sort of half relief? Is there such a thing?
Aware? How about aware?
Aware. Yeah, that's a great
okay.
word.
All right.
My vocabulary at the end of the day is not the greatest.
I understand. So when you're aware that this is what you think sometimes, what do you do?
Well,
you ask for coaching.
Yeah. I do.
You ask for help. You journal.
Yes.
You think about what you're thinking about.
I do now.
Right?
Right.
And that leads to, that's a lot of words. Think about what you're thinking about.
About.
And that results in up-leveling your thoughts. Okay. So basically that's your model. You're thinking about what you think about because sometimes you've decided that sometimes you think this rather than all the time. It's not absolute anymore. So maybe the next thought above this one in the ladder is I'm open to believing that someday this schedule will slow down. Are you open to believing that? Is that a possibility? Is it even a possibility?
I've never thought about it. if I'm being honest, I've never really thought that. But I'm open to believing it.
What are you open to believing about this? What do you think is possible in the future that you can believe? Will the schedule slow down? Will you handle it better? Will you schedule your life better? Will you have better mind management? What are you open to believing?
I think that's what I'm open to believing.
that I'll be able to manage my mind better. I'll be able to handle it better. Yes.
So that's what it is. At the bottom, this is never going to end. Then the next level is sometimes I think this will never end. Then the next level is I'm learning to manage my mind around this. And the next level is I'm a mental ninja because I get it now.
I love that thought.
I'm a mental ninja. You keep journaling like you're journaling and leveling up those thoughts and practicing that, and you will become a mental ninja. I promise you that. Working those models, figuring it, because what the model does, for all of you newbies, the model is not, it's not a magic pill that's going to solve the world. All it does is it shows you how your thoughts are helping you show up in the world. So in Melissa's case, she's up-leveling her thoughts in order to show up better every day for her kids. Right?
Yes. Like, I think for a long time, I've like shown up incredibly well for my kids, but haven't left a whole lot for myself.
Yeah.
And so I think, yes, showing up better for my kids, but I think showing up a little bit better for myself is going to result in showing up even better for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So for all of you who are brand new, the thought ladder is... It's a couple weeks from now in No BS. I think it's in Fat Girl Thinking. Is that right, Melissa? It's in the Fat Girl Thinking module. And it's called Believing New Things. Does that sound right?
I think so. I think that's right. So I just had a lot of road time, so I've listened to it a lot.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. I'm seeing in the chat that there's some people that haven't been there yet, and that's totally fine, you guys. You know, I think the schedule that we've laid out for you is module two, but Melissa is in the car a lot. So I'm sure she's moving on ahead, and that's totally fine too.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kathy. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Take care. You too. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. Shri, Shri. You've been on here a minute. You're next. Let me unmute you.
Hello?
I'm here. Hang on. I got to figure out what I just did with somebody.
Oh, that's okay. My 2-year-old is like screaming in the hallway.
Do you need to take care of them?
No, my father-in-law is with her. Hold on one second.
Sorry. Okay. Did I say your name right?
Yeah, Shri. Yep, that was
perfect.
It.
That's pretty. How are you? You're welcome.
I'm doing well. How are you, Kathy?
I'm good.
So I'm new. In April. And I have, I guess, kind of two quick questions. So one is that, I suffer from migraines, and when I get headaches, like I usually have I'm really good with kind of sticking to my plan, but like when I get headaches, sometimes I sort of have the sort of I deserve it sort of mentality where I kind of like go off my plan. And when I have sort of done like a recovery worksheet or kind of like, you know, sort of thinking my way through it, it is a lot of kind of, well, I've had a, you know, rough go of it. I kind of deserve to like have whatever I am going off plan to have for. So just wondering if you have any thoughts about that.
So when you hear yourself say, I deserve it, do you believe it? Is that the truth?
I would say not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's your habit when you're not feeling well, when you have a migraine, to eat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in order to break the habit, you make small incremental changes.
Okay.
All right. So the first one you make is when you hear yourself say, I deserve it, you ask yourself, is that the truth?
Right.
Should I really be eating right now? Is that what's going to solve this migraine problem? Probably not.
No. You know,
usually eating doesn't help migraines, right?
Right. It doesn't.
Right. So that's how you start. You just talk to yourself and you say, no, what helps a migraine is going to bed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is sitting in the dark. It's not eating. What eating does is distract you from the migraine.
Right.
Okay. It helps take your mind off the migraine. Mm-hmm. It's not helping the migraine. All it's doing is, you know, adding weight to your hips to carry around, which exactly. probably gives you a migraine.
Exactly.
And I'm betting you're not eating broccoli to solve the migraine.
Right.
So if you're sensitive to like sugars and stuff like that, you're probably just contributing to the migraine.
Right.
So that's the conversation that you need to have when you hear the thought, I deserve to eat because I don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it's all about how you talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. Right. You know that because you're telling yourself, you've identified the thought, I deserve this. And you really don't. There's no deserving about it.
Right.
So you just start, you know, you've started the conversation. Now you just continue it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one other quick question mm-hmm. is, like, sometimes I sort of get into another sort of thought pattern. Like, so I'll give you an example. So I was at work, I think yesterday, and I had finished my planned lunch. Okay. And I sort of wanted, I was probably to my plus two, but I just kind of wanted something else. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I didn't need something else. So mm-hmm. I didn't have it, but sometimes I have the thought that, well, like, so I can kind of consider that a win, but I sort of sometimes feel like, well, that win is not like that big of a deal, or it's not going to add up to any, you know, it's not going to add up. Or sometimes I even think the sort of off plan things that I do, like, you know, oh, it's just a little bit, so it's not going to add up. But it's also the mm-hmm. wins that I have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't think that that's going to really result in.
Well, let's do some math. Do you like math? Let's say every time you have that thought, you eat 200 calories worth of something, mm-hmm. candy bar. Mm-hmm. I think I'll finish off with the candy bar, even though I'm not really hungry. It's just a little candy bar, 200 calories.
Yeah.
You do that 5 times through the week, every day at work. That's 1,000 calories, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
It's half a day.
Yeah.
I know we're not calorie counters, but for the purpose of doing math, you've just eaten over a week's time another half a day's worth of food.
That's true.
It's a concept. There's a no BS lesson coming up, I think, called Big and Little Quits.
Okay.
So it's the concept of all those little bitty mistakes that you make mm-hmm. add up in the long run.
Yes.
If you flip that, all those little bitty wins you make add up in the long run.
Right.
All right. So if you avoided 200 calories today and every day for the rest of the week, you've mm-hmm. saved half a day's worth of mindless eating.
Right.
Right. Yes. So your brain is telling you it's just a little bit. It's not really a win. Mm-hmm. That's when you start the conversation again. You say, oh yes, this is a win because I'm going to see the win on the scale this week.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you,
No, just go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
No, I just kind of like rewiring. So just telling myself, no, it is really, you know, it is a win. It's going to, those small things are going to add up. And I really like know that, but my mind just automatically goes like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to really help you that much. So it's probably okay if you have a little bit.
Yeah.
I know it's not.
So I read a book recently, and you may have, I don't know if you guys were in the tribe yet when we had a big talk in the tribe a couple of months ago. Corinne read the book Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
James Clear. Have you read it?
I have not.
At the very beginning of the book, he talks about how habits are broken in very, very little pieces, okay? Atomic habits means, you know, an atom is very small, right? Mm-hmm. So atomic habits itself means little bitty tiny pieces of habits, okay? And he uses the analogy in the very beginning of the book of an ice cube, all right? You have an ice cube that's frozen to, let's say, 28 degrees, mm-hmm. okay? We're going to raise the temperature to 29, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Raise the temperature to 30, nothing happens. 31, 32. When you raise it to 33, it starts to melt. Mm-hmm. But you've had to do all these other little bitty steps mm-hmm. before you actually saw a result. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you think about your small wins in that perspective, mm-hmm. you have to do, you know, several little bitty things before you see the ice cube actually melt. And it's such a powerful thing to think about.
It is. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. So think about that ice cube. You know, I'm just melting my ice cube.
That's right.
Every time I say, no, I'm at plus two, I'm done. I'm melting. Right. I'm working on that ice cube.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it for today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Making a note here so I can write this up.
Yes.
All right. See ya.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right, Katie Barrett, let's see if we can get you on here.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So I'm an April baby. I've been listening to the podcast since January and have lost... Gosh, well, as of Friday, I had lost 17 pounds, and then this weekend happened. And I don't know, I gained over the weekend. I'm struggling with a bit of self-doubt about what's diet mentality and what's kind of meeting myself where I'm at.
Okay.
You know, be that idea of being able to make mistakes, that it's not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But when do those mistakes start turning into like almost self-sabotage that, oh, it's okay to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing journaling, I've been doing recovery worksheets, but now I'm starting to doubt, oh my gosh, am I kind of self-sabotaging?
Are you?
I don't know. And that's where I'm at.
Self-sabotage is a mindset. Okay. Forgiveness is also a mindset. Are you perfect?
No, not by any means.
Right? Sometimes learning to forgive ourselves is one of the hardest things we do. You know, especially if we want to do everything perfectly all the time and we're disappointed when we don't. Sometimes saying, you know, that's okay is, you know, practice takes practice, right?
It does take practice for me because I am.
Self-sabotage is... Well, I know I didn't plan that. I'll just do a recovery sheet when I'm done. That's self-sabotage. Okay? Self-sabotage is not, I overate, I want to figure out why.
Okay? So sometimes it has been a case of, oh, I overate. I need to do a recovery worksheet. It's not, it's not an, oh, well, thinking. But what I've noticed sometimes is almost... I'll talk to myself about, this is not on your plan. Why do you need to have this right now? Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like my mind, it's like, nope, no longer going to think about it, just going to do. And it's almost like automatic pilot almost, like my brain just turns off.
So when you do a recovery sheet, what does it say in a situation like that?
A lot of times in that situation it is you did ask yourself, you know, what you were doing and basically right. And then you went and did it anyway.
Okay. So what did you learn? Sometimes I tell myself I want it anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And sometimes I follow through with that. Right?
And
sometimes that's all it is. How about I'm learning to talk to myself about this, and sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not, but I'm not going to give up practicing.
I actually never thought about it that way. Yeah. I just kind of go to that, well, see, there you did it again.
You go straight to beating yourself up, which only leads to eating more. That's right. Why I was telling somebody earlier in office hours, you got to stop the shame, because all the shame does is give you permission to overeat again. If you kind of, this sounds kind of woo, but bear with me. If you kind of step outside yourself and act as your own coach and say, what can I learn from this? Without, you know, saying I'm a terrible person. What can I learn from this? What pattern am I seeing? And how can I disrupt that pattern next time? That's where you start to see progress.
Okay.
You know, it's becoming your own voice of reason, your own calm voice of reason, rather than that person who's saying, well, gosh, Katie, you're such a loser. Look at you. You keep eating, right? You're sabotaging again. You know, whatever it is you're telling yourself. What if you're just saying, I'm figuring this out?
That's been my mantra a lot.
Yeah.
I've really tried to be really mindful about using the tools and doing the work and knowing that it's okay not to be perfect.
Yeah.
But
then let me ask you something. Do you think I'm perfect in my eating?
Well, what I see is that you're being successful, right?
Okay. But do you think I'm perfect?
No, I don't imagine. None of us are perfect.
No, I'm not perfect in my eating. I eat off plan. I overeat. I just don't beat myself up. And I don't make it mean the next meal I get to have a free-for-all.
Right. I haven't gone there yet, thankfully. I'm usually able to bring myself back in and go, okay, just start again now.
John Acuff talks about in his book Finish, which is one of my favorite books of all time. He talks about the day after perfect and how important that is. And what that means is you get on plan, you're doing great, you have an overeat. What happens next? Do you get right back on plan or do you just go through the shame cycle and decide to eat, you know, give up and eat the rest of the time? So the day after perfect is one of the most important days you'll ever have. And you might have it repeatedly. But how you handle it is key to whether or not you stay on plan and lose your weight. Because none of us is perfect.
I tend not to be perfect on the weekends. And I think that's part of what I see too, is that conversation of, you know, well, you're getting through all week doing it.
Well, what's imperfect about your weekends? What's different about your weekends?
I'm home.
Okay.
I'm home without a schedule that has me all over the place and not having time.
Okay. So what do you do to mitigate that?
So I try not to overschedule my weekends because I'm so busy during the week. So I want to take that time for me. So read Atomic Habits. I've been trying to read more. I've been trying to find things. My husband and I have been going out and hiking or walking.
But why are your weekends off the rails?
I don't know. I think it's just, that's where it's so easy for me to be sitting there and that kitchen is almost like calling me.
Do you have a kitchen at work?
Yeah, but I'm never.
So it's not the kitchen calling you. It's not the kitchen's fault.
No, it's my brain's fault. That's having those conversations about, well, that sounds good. Why don't you have that? Well, it's
not. Yeah, it's because you're deciding to eat.
That's
the only reason you are making the decision to get up out of that chair and walk into the kitchen and find something to eat when you're not hungry.
And sometimes I can talk myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can't.
You know, you can always talk yourself out of it. You're just choosing not to.
That's true.
That's true.
Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
So that's where it comes to sometimes I'm going to do it anyway.
And that's where your work is. That's where your recovery sheet is. Why do you have to do it anyway? Why is that important in that moment? Because it's really not. It's just important to you for some reason. You've talked yourself into it being important for some reason. More important than your goals.
Right. And my goals are really important.
So maybe that's what you tell yourself. Yeah, I hear you. And yeah, food would be fabulous right now because that's what we're used to, but my goals are more important.
Last night I did the module on writing your compelling reason. So I have my compelling reason. I wrote it in my planner and basically my compelling reason is, you know, I'm worthy and deserve to reach my goals. That's my compelling reason.
Yeah.
So maybe that will be my mantra as I decide whether I'm going to make the choice to eat or not.
Do you make a weekend plan? Do you make a plan on the weekend?
Oh yeah. I've been so good at my 24-hour plans as far as making them. And you know, I do a really good job of sticking to them.
Do this. Write your compelling reason on the top of the weekend plan. Okay. On Saturday, compelling reason goes right across the top. And then you take the plan and you tape it to your pantry door or your refrigerator door, whatever it is you're eating out of.
A good idea.
That will be a visual reminder of your compelling reason. And if you eat, you say, I chose to do this. It wasn't the kitchen calling. It wasn't that I wasn't busy. It wasn't this. It was, I chose to do this. And now I'm right back on plan after I do my recovery worksheet.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I needed. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I have three hands raised. I have Laura, Ashley, and Kay Dembro. And we'll take these three and then be done tonight since we're getting close on time. So, Laura, you are first.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, ma'am. Okay, How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So I was listening to everyone's thing driving back from the airport, and I think I partially solved my question, but I'm sure that you will still have some mind-blowing insights for me. So I'm a January baby, obviously. Uh-huh. I've been, really engaging a lot with a really great accountability group, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting to the point where I get it and I believe it. I was listening to one of Brooke's podcasts over the weekend, and she was talking about kind of the aligned models and how you have to believe in the new one before you're actually there, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the way that we always talk about how you do one thing is how you do everything, mm-hmm. I've noticed that I keep hitting, like I started at 243 and I'm down to 216-ish. And then every time I get to 212, I bounce back up.
Okay.
And at first I was like, is it that I'm afraid to go lower? I'm taking my foot off the gas. Like, why am I doing this? And mm-hmm. I think that what I was thinking about earlier today is that it's like, I have total faith that this is going to work. And it's almost like that's permission to not permission to stop trying, but I do that with a lot of things. Like, in my work, once I do a lot of research and I have to write up the answers to get them published, once I know what the stats show, I feel like I have no motivation to then write it up and publish it. It's like, I just wanted to know the answer. I wanted to know that it would work. And then I don't see things through to completion. And so I don't know, I can't figure out what's underlying that, I guess, right? So
you know it's going to work, so you stop doing the work?
Yeah. Or it's like, I feel like I've spent my lifetime looking for the diet that's going to work. I have uh-huh. total faith that if I execute the steps of this plan, this will uh-huh. work. And so therefore I slow down on doing them.
So that's a mixed model. If you think about that's it, because,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, if your thought is this is going to work, your action right. is not going to, and if your feeling is, relief, I found the thing, your action is not slow down.
Right. And
there's another thought in there. Now, maybe it's now that I've found this, I don't have to work so hard.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or something like that. But there's, you see what I'm saying about it being a mixed model? You're never going to have a negative result from a positive thought. Okay.
No, that makes sense.
And your result is that you've stalled your weight loss. And your thought is, this plan's going to work.
Well, it's not even like it's a thought. It's like I truly, I mean, it makes sense. It's like, I've seen it work for me. I have the evidence. Yeah. I believe that it will work.
Okay.
But I've lost my motivation to do it, Yeah.
All right. That's more likely. Why have you lost your motivation to do it?
I think I just wanted to know whether it would work. And then, now that I know,
motivation is created by action.
Right.
Okay. If you're not doing the actions, you're not going to be motivated. Think about a snowball.
Okay.
Snowball builds like motivation. You have a snowball, you roll it around the ground, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have a snowman, right? That's how motivation works.
Right.
Okay. But if you make a snowball and you throw it on the ground and you don't roll it around, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't build motivation.
No, I understand that.
Okay. So you can have the belief over here, over here that this is it. This is the diet for me. This is going to work.
Right.
But if you're not doing the actions, you're not going to get the results. If you're not doing the actions, you're not going to create the motivation.
Right. No, so I agree with you.
So why aren't you doing the actions?
I don't.
Don't say I don't know. If you had to guess.
Okay.
If you had to guess, why aren't you doing the actions? Just take a wild step.
I think it's because it's a lot of work. And I feel like that's what it is with research for sure. Mm-hmm. It's like, I found out the answer. It's a lot of work to write this up. Why should I bother doing that?
So is it a lot of work?
It doesn't really feel like it is. I mean, for weight loss. I mean, I guess it is. It's a lot of decisions every day, little decisions all the time. And we take a lot of those away by making the plan. And
You're making decisions anyway. Whether you're on plan or off plan, you're making decisions. It's four basics.
Yeah.
A lot of work. If a lot of work is four basics, then it's a lot of work. But I don't think Corinne defines it that way.
No. And it's
right.
Right.
So you're like telling yourself. You're telling yourself a thought that's not true. It's an excuse. Okay. It's a lot of work is an excuse not to do the work.
Right.
So you tell yourself, no, it's four basics.
Okay.
Do you make a plan?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you follow the plan?
Mostly, yes. Okay. I mean, I would say I'm about 75%, and that's whenever I stall and I'm like maintaining, you know?
Do you assess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so
there's one basic.
I have a planner. I carry it around. Yeah.
Okay. Then we could go through the other three. Do you eat and sleep?
Yeah.
Do you sleep and
water? I sleep. I drink my water. Yeah. Okay. Like here's the thing. I feel like I've got the four basics on lockdown aside from the fact that I don't always stick to my plan.
Okay.
But I feel like that's where the problem is. Like I've like lost my motivation to stick to the plan because I feel like, okay, well this will work when I'm ready to do it.
So why are you choosing to go off plan?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like maybe I just need to maintain for a little bit and then I'll get excited again and want to do it.
Are you doing your recovery worksheets?
Not as much as I should. Okay. Probably. I do some of them. Yeah.
Every time you go off plan, every single time, not the day after, not, I need to assess, 3 days ago, you do them then. You go off plan, you do your recovery worksheet. That's how you
maybe that's where the answer is.
Yeah, that's how you'll know why you're going off plan. If you don't really know why you're going off plan, there's a thought in there. It's probably a pattern. It's probably something like it's hard or I don't feel like it or, something like that. And then when you find the pattern, just ask yourself, is this really the truth? Am I telling myself the truth or am I just giving myself some excuses to eat whatever I want? And how bad do I really want to lose weight?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going to in my mind is like, maybe this just isn't something I want that badly right now, but then it's like, I do that in everything. And so at some point I have to ask myself, do I want to just have a life where I know the answers, but like sit around in mediocrity or do I want to actually get to the end of something?
Yeah. How much do you weigh?
216.
216. Do you want to weigh 216?
No.
Okay.
But like,
then this is not something I really want right now.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
You just want to eat more.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah, in the moment. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you remind yourself what your goal is. And you have the conversation with yourself. That 75%, I bet you clean up that following the plan, that 75%, clean it up to 100%, and the scale moves.
Oh man, like if I clean it up to 80%, like I have the scale moves. When I follow, I know it moves. It's just, Okay. No, I think you're right that the answer will be.
So why are you on this call again?
I feel like I've lost my motivation, but you give me the answer, do the stuff. And then
you have to do the stuff.
Reveal it.
To maintain the motivation. That's right.
All right. All right.
Okay. Now I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Were you on the success stories for the opening? Did you submit success stories for the opening? Mm-hmm. Your answers were fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I didn't see the video of that. I don't know if that was available.
You were all over it.
Oh,
you were all over it. I remember your voice. And I was like, when you came on, I was like, I think that's from the success stories.
Oh,
good job.
You coached me about work many times, so, or twice now, I think.
So. Yeah. Well, your answers were great. Thank you for submitting them.
Thanks. I'll have to try to find out where I can see that. If anybody has a link, go ahead and post it.
Yeah, email support.
Okay.
If anybody can find it, Sadie can find it.
Okay, because I know deleted it off my phone for extra space, so I'll have to go back and watch it. Maybe that'll get me motivated again.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
See you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Kay Dembro, you're up. All right, let's hang on. Unmute you. Oh, you unmuted yourself. Are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. What is your first name?
I'm sorry. I'm Kristen.
Kristen. That's all right.
Just putting my girls to bed.
Oh, how nice. Quiet time in the house, huh?
Not really. The dogs are next.
Oh, okay. So what's up?
I was encouraged to get some coaching.
Okay.
I'm just filled with lots of anger and disappointment. And I can already hear your voice saying, why do you choose that thought? Or why do you choose to feel that way? Or how can you change that? And I don't know how.
Well, tell me what you're angry and disappointed about.
I'm angry because I feel like I did everything right. And I finished school and I bought a house and I got a job and I have two kids and I didn't know it was going to be so hard. And I thought I'd have more help. And I'm all alone, and my mother-in-law died, and my mother doesn't want anything to do with us, and the two dogs that we have become extremely high needs, and I feel very trapped with them. I can't rehome them, and I just feel like I bear every burden on my shoulders, and I'm just so angry. And alone.
Okay, so that thought, I bear every burden on my shoulders, is a painful thought for you.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me, you said you have two kids and
yes.
two dogs
yes.
and no help, right?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me, how old are your kids?
1 and 4, and my husband we decided he had a vasectomy a couple weeks ago. I really wanted more kids, but I hope I didn't make a mistake, but I think it would break all of us to have another kid, and I'm very sad about that and angry that we had to make that decision.
So is that what you're angry about, or is it the no help that you're angry?
I'm angry at my mother. She had so much help raising me and my siblings. And I don't know why she doesn't want anything to do with us. I don't know why she doesn't want to see her grandchildren. She's entitled to enjoy her life and her retirement, but she just travels and she's never around and she never calls us and she never checks on us. And I thought it would be different. My sister has a baby and she has so much help. I know comparison is the thief of joy, but she only works 4 days a week and her in-laws are banging her door down to see her child. And if my mother-in-law were alive, I'd be fending her off with a stick, but she's not here.
Okay, so let's narrow this in a little bit. Let me recap. You're overwhelmed because you have no help. You're thinking about how much help your sister has, and you miss your mother-in-law, right? So this all boils down to, how is Kristen showing up every day, right? You taking good care of your kids?
Yes.
Yes. You go to work every day?
I do.
Yes. So you're taking care of things financially? You're taking care of the love of your kids? You're even taking care of those dogs, and you're probably taking care of your husband too, right?
And
you're successful at all of this.
Sure.
Okay. So what do you need help with? Sounds to me like you're doing it. Sounds to me like you have figured out how to take care of life.
I think I need to focus on not taking my anger out on my husband and my dogs I don't take it out on my girls.
So why are you angry? You just feel, I mean, you have a thought that you're not, you don't have any help, right? But do you really need help? Or are you handling it?
I do need help because I'm not taking care of myself.
Okay. At all. So right now, what time zone are you in?
Central.
You're in Central. So it's 10 minutes to 8, right? You're going to take care of the dogs. Then what time are you going to bed?
I will go to bed immediately, but I'll probably get up about 6 times tonight. I'm the only adult in the house.
Okay. Because of the one-year-old?
No, because of the dogs.
The dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be very tired. I'm very exhausted. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll probably get like 5-6 hours of sleep tonight.
If you were to find a way to get more sleep, would all this seem more manageable to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how can we put your brain to work on how to get more sleep?
I've tried to get more sleep for years. I chose to have children and dogs, so I don't get sleep.
Okay.
I don't know how else to... I've tried to get people to help, but nobody wants to help. Oh. I don't know.
I think you're going to have to... When did you join? January?
April.
April. Okay. So you don't know the model yet, probably. I think you're going to have to assume no help at this point. It's you.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you're going to need to do is decide, knowing it's just you, how you're going to take care of things. You're spending a lot of time wishing and wanting for something.
Yeah.
That's not serving you. Wishing and wanting for help, and that's only upsetting you.
Yeah.
If you set that aside, if you put that wish and want on the table and say, okay, I get to wish and want one time a day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's it. The rest of the day, I am the badass woman who runs this family and takes care of these kids and this dog, because that's what you're doing anyway. But you're suffering 24 hours a day because you're thinking about how angry you are. We did a podcast called The Worry Bucket. It's number 65. Do you remember The Worry Bucket?
I've read it and I have my own on my phone.
Okay. I want you to have an angry bucket. You get to be pissed off at the world every day at a certain time for a certain amount of time. Okay?
Okay.
The rest of the day, you just take care of business. All right? So pick a time of day. You want to do it at 8 o'clock at night when everybody's in bed?
Sure.
All right. So for 30 minutes at 8 o'clock, you get to be mad. You get to cry. You get to kick things. Well, I don't know if you want to kick things. Throw socks. Do you hear Corinne talking about Logan throwing hangers and breaking them? And she said, throw socks. Okay. You can't break anything throwing socks. Just be as angry as you want to be. And then at 8:30, you get back to business. You take care of the dogs, you take care of the kids, you take care of you, you do whatever you have to do. Through the day, when you find yourself getting angry, you say, not right now, it's not 8 o'clock yet. 8 o'clock is my angry time.
Okay.
This will teach you how to manage your mind around your day's work, around all the things that you're doing already. You're just doing angry. Okay. It helps you compress the amount of time that you're sitting in anger to the point where what happened with the worry bucket was an experiment with me. Okay. I'm a first class worrier. And when I did the worry bucket, honestly, I picked 4 o'clock in the afternoon while I was driving home. I couldn't gin it up. I was like, I put it off and put it off. Okay. I'm not worrying right now. I'm not worrying right now. It's not time yet. It's not 4 o'clock yet. I'd get to 4 o'clock and I'd be ready to worry like nobody's business. And I might worry a little bit. And I was like, well, that was done. I'm done there. Because what you're doing is training your brain not to be angry, to accept the things around you, to know that you can handle it. Okay. By putting it off until the 8 o'clock. So for your assignment is to take that worry bucket concept in podcast number 65 and apply it to your anger and your disappointment in your mother and your sister and your compare and all those things. You get to feel all those things as strongly as you want to feel them from 8 to 8:30 every night. Then you're done.
Do you have any advice for how to try to talk to my mom? I've been putting it off for about a month now.
You can't expect her to want to do anything. What you need to do is accept her for who she is and just keep inviting her. Love to see you, Mom. You know, are you busy this weekend? If she says no, then you have to be willing to accept no. Then you just invite her again. Love to see you, Mom. You busy this weekend?
Okay.
You have to allow her to be herself. And once you allow her to be herself, you'll stop being angry. What you're doing is you're expecting her to act as like you have a manual for her. You have a whole list of expectations of how she should be as a grandmother, how she should be as a mother. And she's not fulfilling those expectations, and that's making you angry. She has a whole list of expectations of how she should act, and she's doing that. What you have to do is accept her for the person she is and allow her to be herself. And then maybe you drop some of those walls and she's not going to be scared to come around you because, okay, Kristen's going to talk to me about not coming around. So I don't want to go around.
That's a good point.
Yeah. She's walking into a shit storm over there because Kristen's pissed. Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hang out with me either.
Who wants to do that? Just tell her, come on, but not during 8 and 8:30. That's not a good time.
I like that time because I closed the kitchen up by then, so I can't angry eat.
Well, and maybe your angry bucket takes place in one room in the house, too. You know, maybe mine was always in the car. It was on my commute on my way home. Maybe you have your angry time in the bedroom. That's it. You leave the bedroom, you got to leave the angry time.
Yeah, my husband will like this because I take it out on him and he can say, well, it's not 8 o'clock and you're not in the bedroom. So I think
you can. That's right. He's your accountability to the angry bucket.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you just started in April. When you're finished with No BS, you have it all nailed. I want you to do mastering relationships with your mom in mind.
Okay.
After No BS. Okay.
Okay.
Because once you start loving your mom for who she is, you probably won't need the angry bucket anymore.
Here's hoping. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Ashley.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay.
How are you?
Hi, Kathy. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So I joined in April after finding the podcast and losing 10 pounds just by doing the four basics.
Cool.
And took a leap to join. And I got to the pick your goal weight. I think what I'm struggling with right now is a lot of fear. Like I haven't told my family about the PNP tribe and kind of like my daughter, she's like, what are you working on, Mom? And I'm like, oh, this is just about, you know, like healthy eating. And I think it's partly because I've been overweight my entire adult life. And I had some success with Weight Watchers about 4 years ago where I lost over 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But then over 3 years, I would gain like 20 pounds. And so I think I'm fearful to let people know because I'm afraid that I'm going to fail.
Okay.
But,
well, let me tell you this first. You did not have success with Weight Watchers. You know why I know that?
Yeah, because I didn't keep it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what the thing is, and I think another thing is too, is because I kept It was like the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So I would stop, like, this isn't working. And then I would rejoin.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I had
raising my hand. Started. Probably five or six for me, Weight Watchers. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say at least that. Yeah. So,
so tell me why you're afraid of failing. Were you afraid of failing Weight Watchers?
Not until, I mean, not until I started to gain the weight back, I think, because that was the first time I'd ever had any success at losing any substantial weight.
So you weren't afraid when you started?
Well, I guess not. I don't.
Okay. Why are you afraid now?
I'm afraid that, and I shouldn't use this as a, it's not like it's an excuse. Maybe it's just like how, I'm sure it's a normal feeling of that a lot of people have is they're kind of fearful that they're going to, or they just have a lot of fear about picking a goal weight. I'm afraid to like fully dive in, like tell my family or friends kind of what I'm doing. I don't know.
Why? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to tell your family?
Well, because I think they've known that I've been doing Weight Watchers in the past and I didn't do very well with that.
Okay. So they know that. Yeah. So why are you afraid?
I think I'm afraid too myself. Like I just can't fail. I mean, I know this program is about failing and
why
learning
not?
From
why
your
can't
failings.
You fail? Why can't you, why? I want to go back to why you won't tell your family. Are you afraid that they're going to judge you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And you know why you're afraid? I want everyone on this call to hear this. If you are afraid of someone else's judgment, it's because you are judging yourself.
Yeah.
If you're worried that someone's going to think you're fat, it's because you think you're fat. If you're worried someone's going to think you're not smart enough, it's because you don't think you're smart enough. If you're worried someone's going to think you're going to fail, it's because you're worried you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's your thought that you're projecting on someone else.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not telling your family because it gives you an easy out so that if you fail, you don't have to tell anybody and you get to pretend it never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I didn't really think of it like that.
That's exactly what it is. And like you said, failure is part of the program. You have to fail. You will never find plus two until you find plus three or plus four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're not eating past plus two, you'll never find it. And that's a fail. That's a fail, right? You eat plus three. You failed that meal. Mm-hmm. People think failure is a bad word. It's not. You will never find success without first failing. You know, because success in anything is never a straight line. You have to figure it out all the way along, the whole way along.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'll also offer you this. If you're holding in your brain that you might fail, if you're holding on to that thought, I just won't tell anybody because I might fail. What do you think the result you're going to create is? You think you're going to have wild success? Ease?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you're not. You're going to struggle bust it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you have to do is tell yourself that failure is okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we learn. You know, when I do something wrong, how many times do you remember what you do right? And how many times do you remember what you do wrong?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well,
we're
I don't know.
So good.
I'm a nurse and you know, you don't want to ever make any mistakes, you
but
know.
Boy, do you remember the ones that you make, don't you?
Yes, you do. Right? And you know.
Right. So. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when are you going to tell your family that you have found this fabulous program that is going to help you lose your weight? Help you keep it off. And it makes, you can do what I did, okay? I came home when I found Corinne. Have you heard this story? I found Corinne at a church retreat.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, swear to God. Came home and sat down with my husband and I said, I'm going to try this one more thing because it makes so much sense. And you're a nurse. You know how much sense it makes.
Yeah. I did talk to my mom, who's like my confidant. And I think it's because she struggled with weight her entire life. And I like, gosh, mom, it just, you know, it makes so much sense, you know, just kind of meeting yourself where you're at.
Yeah.
And,
not eating too much.
I realized I'm like, wow, I get full so fat, not really full, but, I was eating a lot when I was not physically hungry at all.
Yeah.
And then it has me examine my portion sizes. I'm like, whoa.
For real, so, right?
Yeah. So I am proud of myself because I've not been like eating after dinner because I'm not hungry. And you say the 2 to 3, sometimes it's a little hard for me to find, like, I'm like, I think I'm at a 2 or a 3. It probably just takes a while, right? To find that.
It takes practice. Yeah. It takes a lot of practice to find it. But and seriously, if you're eating, 2 or 3, you're probably only 3 or 4 bites too far.
Yeah. Okay. And then, I got my question now. Oh, so when I wake up and it's like, I have to get going, get it to work. Is it okay if I go ahead and eat my normal oatmeal before I'm like at a 2?
Are you going to work? You're going to work?
Yeah. Or I'm going to the gym and then I'm going to work. So.
Yeah. I would eat to your 2.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't eat past your 2, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Shift workers are a little bit different because you can't always wait for hunger because you might not, you know, especially nurses, teachers, things like that.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. Especially if you're seeing good results. So when are you going to tell your family?
I think I should tell them tonight.
Yeah. Just be honest. Tell them how excited you are that you finally found it.
Yeah.
Because it makes so much sense, just like you told your mom.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kathy. Right.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye. Take care. Bye. All right. We have a few things in the Q&A real quick that I'll do, and then we'll get out of here. I'm an April baby, but I've been following the set 24-hour plan since December. With the help of an accountability group, I've been better at seeing the areas I need to work on, but I'm having trouble figuring out how to level up. I feel like I'm flailing and not focused, which typically happens before I give up. Would anybody be willing to share with me examples of how they level up? I don't know. Let's see. Callie Rusin, I guess this is. I want you to post this in the Facebook group. That would be a beautiful way to get lots of ideas on how to level up. So pretty please do that. Just copy this right into a post into the Facebook group. And people will give you all kinds of great leveling up suggestions. Elizabeth Miller said, can you go ahead and tell us the answer to her question? I think we'd be interested in hearing your advice. Okay. So Melissa T, ate her way through last week and wanted to know how intensely to dive back in. I would have told her to go right back to doing what she was doing. I would have asked her why she didn't just go back right back into where she was. I don't think the intensity of it, I don't know. Without talking to her, I couldn't figure out if the intensity of it was too much and that's why she fell off plan, or if it was okay just to go right back into it. She could either go right back in or she could focus for basics. So Elizabeth, I think it sort of depends on what her answers to the questions were. Definitely the four basics, but if she just had a tough week and was ready to dive back in, that was okay too. Crystal, I'm an April baby and just listened to the model and thought download videos. I did my thought download, but not sure about the model part on the sheet, unintentional and intentional. Am I supposed to be doing these on a daily basis like a journal? Crystal, the most important thing for you to do is thought download. The just really quick, the unintentional model is the model that's playing out right now that is leading to a result that you really don't like. The intentional model is how you want to show up. So you have an unintentional thought like, I deserve to eat this, which leads all the way through the model to you overeating, right? The intentional model is the answer to the thought I deserve to eat this. You know, you might say, I'm not a dog. I don't deserve a reward or something like that. And that leads to avoiding the overeat. So models are cool, but they're not required. If you are, you can practice them and you can learn them if you want. The most important thing is that journaling piece. Meg, I'm a procrastinator. I've had gym clothes on all day and just now getting my workout done. I waste much of my free time on my phone and sitting. Also, I looked at my husband's barbecue chips on the counter and all of the lights in my brain went off. I ate half a serving or one and a half servings. Off plan eat. I'll do a recovery sheet, but how do I manage trigger foods? You clean up your thoughts around them, or you put them away. You know, you've decided chips are a trigger food. What if they weren't? What if they were just chips? You know, I mean, it's hard to coach this without talking to you more about it. But I think I would just put the chips today and say these aren't on the plan. I mean, that's basically how you stop, how you avoid trigger foods. You tell yourself they're not on the plan, or you plan them and you eat them on plan, one or the other. For the last 2 days on my 24-hour plan, I planned a snack, but my lunch didn't take me to plus two, so I ate my planned snack at lunch. Is this okay, or does it constitute breaking my plan? I think that's just fine. Any advice on how to handle a version of survival guilt? My brother-in-law is critically ill, and I'm having a hard time focusing on my priorities. Let's see. I don't know who this is. It's a phone number, it looks like. I want you to post this and ask coaches and give me a little bit more information about why you are feeling guilty because he is in the hospital, because he is critically ill. What thought is creating your guilt? And I want you to post this and ask coaches so we have a little bit more information. I wish you had raised your hand because this would have been a good thing to coach on. Basically, the feeling of guilt comes from a thought. You know, I shouldn't be living right now. I don't know why he's sick and I'm not. And then you identify that thought and then you ask yourself, is this true? Is this really the truth? And is this what I want to think? Is this how I want to show up in this situation? Okay, if that doesn't help, post and ask coaches so we can, and give us a little bit more information so we can coach on it. All right. That's all the Q&A. I guess I will call it then. You're very welcome. I hope that helps you. You guys have a good night. Betsy is back. I think it's Betsy this weekend. Saturday at noon, if any of you want to come back and get any more questions answered. And I'm back again next Tuesday night. You guys have a great evening. See ya. Bye.